You guys, welcome to the Bachelorette After Show. There's been a lot of women on this panel for the last couple weeks, so I thought I'd come and try to bring some testosterone back. But apparently, because of the episode, there is no testosterone needed. So I'm going to back out of the way and let these ladies break it down. Here we go.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back to the AfterBuzz TV Bachelorette After Show. By the way, this guy, Russell Dickerson, I have never heard of him before.
Oh my gosh, we all are Googling.
Yeah, he's going to be on repeat on the way home. Welcome you guys back here to AfterBuzz TV. Listen, I know I've been gone a couple weeks and we've all been bouncing around, but we are here and we're excited to break it down. There's a lot that happened, so let's get right into it because we want to try to get everything covered tonight. But the other day, Renee and Christina came in and talked a little bit about Bachelor in Paradise, so we're going to talk about that just for a couple minutes. Another piece of news, Carly and Evan got married, which was awesome. Surprisingly, though, I don't feel like there was a lot of former contestants there.
I was shocked by that.
Were you surprised by that?
I was so surprised. I thought that at least all the former Bachelor in Paradise contestants would be there, and I don't know, maybe because the show is being canceled, if people
or maybe they were and we're going to see them later. Maybe they asked for them to like hold off on posts or something.
I don't know.
I mean, just didn't see much of
it. Follow them live. Like, we follow them. We know what they're doing a lot of times. That sounds so creepy, but you know what I'm saying.
We follow them everywhere.
Yeah,
I thought that weird.
But big congrats to them. They're happy and in love, and that's always fun to watch a product from the show find real, genuine, true love.
And also, they will be airing their wedding special, even though Bachelor in Paradise is canceled.
Did you guys see Mike Fleiss tweeted something about it, and Caitlin Bristow quoted it and said, "When's ours?" Referring to her and Sean, and it went like viral. Did you guys see this?
No.
I'm just remembering this right now.
Did he say that the wedding special will air? Look it up right now.
She was like, because wasn't there like an issue like they weren't going to air her and Sean's or something like
this?
That? Sean? Caitlin Bristow
quoted
Mike Fleiss and said, "When's ours?"
Wait, is that why they haven't gotten married yet?
I think it was
to negotiate that?
I don't know if that's the story or not. So if somebody knows the details, but I remember seeing that and I was like, wait, I want to talk about this.
Yeah, I love them. Why wouldn't they want to air the special?
And I think they're one of Bachelor Nation's favorite couples, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're my favorite couple.
Yeah, anyways, I thought that was kind of interesting.
I mean, nothing new has happened in Bachelor in Paradise with the scandal. We don't really know anything else.
Yeah, so no real news has dropped. The one thing you guys didn't get to talk about a ton that I kind of want to talk about was this story about a lot of the people that were there have unfollowed Corinne on social media.
Right. Yeah.
Why do you think that is, Renee? Like, why? What would make the girls, her girlfriends, unfollow her on social media?
Well, if they all are hoping to come back into the franchise, whether it being this like rumored spinoff for the winter or whatever, I would think ABC would be like, listen, like you need to look like you're on our side because otherwise it makes them look really bad. And I don't think the franchise is going to die altogether. Also, if they don't know the full story, and I think situations like this, you don't, unless everyone was sitting there watching, I mean, you don't really know what to believe.
Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. Like Christina said, there's not a lot of new news that come out. I don't know, to be honest with you, if we'll ever hear the full real story. I think it'll get settled out of court. Like, do you think it ever makes it to court, Christine?
I don't think it'll go that far. I think ABC will find a way to settle this quietly.
Do you think the tapes ever get leaked, like TMZ? Like, do you think that ever happens?
No. There's no way.
No. I think ABC is going to protect its ass at all costs.
If the tapes were to get leaked, or if the real full story, which from everything we've heard, it's so heavy that you've got to think there's one giant piece of information that we don't have.
100%.
There has to be.
Something's missing.
And I don't even want to start to surmise because I don't want to add to the rumors because a lot of us have friends or family that have been involved. And so I'm sure we've all got pieces of information that aren't really out there. And I'm not going to add anything because I don't know what's true and what's not. I wasn't there. And so I think rather than try to surmise what it is, but I think we can all agree there's probably a giant piece of information. And I don't think we'll ever hear it. And if it's as big as what we all think it might be, it could end the whole franchise, not just this iteration. And so that's why I think, to your point, Christine, I think they will protect themselves.
I think so. And that's why I don't think those tapes will ever see the light of day. Yeah. I mean, as fans and viewers, we want everything right now. We want an explanation ASAP. We're like a microwave generation. And I get that, especially when we're so connected to the show. But at the same time, like, we always only see what they want us to see. And I think that's going to be the case here, you know. I don't buy any of the stuff that comes off from TMZ anyway. Like, I think I think it's all still just, like, rumors. Like, unless you were actually there, like, how can you speak to it?
Right.
You know?
True.
Even the people that were. A good friend of mine was on the season and was there when it happened. And I didn't ask because I don't want to put this person in that predicament, but also this person is being that tight-lipped because, like, there's so much legality happening to this.
Mm-hmm. There is.
Even, like, among close friends, people are being mum about it, which makes me... Yeah, like adds water to or weight to the situation. What's the phrase you want to look for there? Adds weight to the situation.
Adds weight to the
situation. Adds weight to the situation, that there's a bigger story that we don't know about, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. I feel like in the Bachelor franchise, a lot of stuff happens behind the scenes or just is cut that we don't even know about. So something like this, I definitely think there's a big piece of the story missing or something on that tape that no one has talked about yet.
Yeah, and it's interesting because you see, like, somebody, Sabine just pointed this out, but a couple people have come to DeMario's defense, Jasmine and Raven. Mm-hmm. And so you're seeing both sides of this. And, I don't even want to surmise what's happening, but it's serious and it sucks.
I think that just in general, since people are so confused as to what happened, I think people are just angry, especially former castmates and production, because they all, one, had jobs this summer and things kind of just got canceled. So when you're excited to be part of this franchise and you're excited to see what happens and even potentially find love, to all of a sudden be there for a couple days and things just be stopped.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's why people are so pissed.
Well, and then to tie this together, we have, you know, we were just talking about Evan and Carly. Mm-hmm. They got married because of a meeting on Bachelor in Paradise. And then he writes this big article. And Renee, you read it. Did you see anything in there? Basically, he was, if you haven't read it, Evan wrote a huge article begging ABC not to cancel Bachelor in Paradise because him, you know, and Carly and Jayden Tanner, people are products of the show. What did you see in the article?
See, I didn't see anything new. He obviously didn't know about the situation or just he knew what other people had said.
Right, right.
But basically... it was just that. It was him pleading to not have the show canceled because he met the love of his life on there. But at the end of the day, if something serious did happen, that shouldn't matter. Like they, or maybe the show shouldn't be canceled, but there should be changes made.
Okay, I'm sorry, but I read that article too. And for me, it was like the entire reason why I didn't like Evan last season. Are a whiny little bitch. Like this whole thing is about how you fell in love, how... Bachelor in Paradise was so great because it was your comeback tour. Like,
oh yeah, Evan, he did, like, say something about his comeback. He
it was
did.
All about how he was the weird guy on JoJo's season, but then on Bachelor in Paradise, he was the weird cool guy that fed on the girl. I was like, no one cares about you. So I kind of felt like this, that whole article was a plea, honestly, to have their wedding special aired. Like, I think that's what it was all about. I was like, okay, you want to make some money from this? Like, you want people to know you're still loved and relevant? Yeah. Like, I get that, but... that's all I read out of it. I was like, yeah. Guys, go read it.
Well, any other thoughts? We will obviously, if stuff breaks this week, we'll talk about it next week and as it develops. But if you haven't seen it, Renee and Christina broke it down. We did a whole special episode on it. You can go find it on AfterBuzz TV's YouTube. All right, should we get it into tonight?
Yes, let's do it.
By the way, I'm sick of the 2B continues. Can I be really honest?
I know. I'm so annoyed.
You can't do that every week.
Every week. Like this is and this week. Is two seasons now of like I get frustrated.
Yeah.
I forget it's gonna happen, thinking like they're not gonna do it, and then it happens again. I'm so over
there's
the
2B. There's no closure for the night. Do you know what I mean?
Like I wanna see I wanna see something, whether it's like get to the punchline of the fight between Kenny and Lee, or give us some sort of finality.
Yeah. I wonder how the ratings are doing. Like, is this why we're getting all this to be continued? Like, do they want to just drum up suspense? Because
I don't know.
I just need to just see things happen.
Are the ratings not good?
I don't know. I'm just speculating as to like why they keep doing this.
Here's the thing. It sucks because Rachel's my favorite bachelorette ever already.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the season's been a little boring. So if it wasn't for her, you know what I mean?
So true.
It sucks. It's this twofold of like, the season sucks, but at the same time, Rachel's my favorite bachelorette ever. It's like, where do you fall?
It's so interesting because you're not the first person I've heard say that, but I was talking to a lot of people recently and they're like, I just don't love this season. I'm like, I think this is one of the best seasons yet.
Well, the guys are boring as heck.
I find them interesting though. Like, I feel like there's enough drama to keep us going.
They're a bunch of wax figures and I can't tell six of them apart.
Yeah, a lot of them are, but I still like believe there's this potential to find love and there's enough that I'm intrigued. Yeah.
There's four guys I want to watch, maybe five, and when it gets there, I think it will be interesting. Right now, it's boring the crap out of me.
Like, at this point, all I want is the romance, which I never say on The Bachelor.
Why? But I'm you want the so drama? Sick.
No, I usually want the drama. Yeah, 100%. Well, like both. Queen. I like. I'm a drama queen. But with this drama with the guys, like I cannot stand it. Like Lee, go home. Eric, stop whining. Iggy, why are you still here? Like all of their drama, I can't.
No, I totally second that. Like I think Iggy is probably the corniest person in the house besides me. Like honestly. It's just like, it's like a revolving door of just like, oh, I'm going to pick on this person this week and I'm going to tell them about it. Like, I don't know who said it.
Let's say all three guys are there. Iggy, Lee and Waboom. Who's the worst out of the three? If you had to pick one.
Lee.
It has to be
I will
Lee, right?
Waboom 100%. Down Burbank Boulevard all night before I say talk to Lee.
Can we talk about, let's talk about Lee for a second. No, here's my thing. So obviously the news came out about all those tweets people found like way back in his timeline. Mm-hmm. And reading through those and knowing the vetting process, I think we all know by now, as many people like we talked about and family that's in the franchise, mm-hmm. we know how serious the vetting process is. I can't believe for a second that they didn't see those, which then makes me realize, okay, so they brought him on for a reason, which kind of sucks because you see The Bachelorette and the franchise having someone of color finally be the focal person on the show. And then to know that it's going to stir up a little bit of racist type tensions mm-hmm. bothers me a lot.
It bothers me, and I think it crosses a line because what are you really going to go that far for some attention on the show? I mean, the fact
for
that
ratings or what
for,
is it?
I mean, it is for ratings. I mean, ABC wants to put on a good show, and I think I don't know if maybe her being the first Black Bachelorette wasn't enough of a conversation starter that they needed to throw in a bona fide racist and honestly a piece of shit guy into the mix to stir things up for her. And you know, we saw that this episode for the first time, really Rachel opening up about the pressures. Being in that position, and now, like, honestly, I can relate to her, not because I've been in that position, but just all the drama around it. Like, I feel for her a lot, and I think it's extra messed up that she has to also deal with that, because as a Black woman, I'm sure she's dealt with people like that in her day-to-day life, and you're coming on this journey, leaving everything behind, wanting something real, and to, you know, be met with a bunch of quality guys to choose from.
It's added pressure.
Not this one guy who's clearly just, I mean, I don't know what his motives are, probably just fame, but... Like, you're not showing your true self.
Well, Victoria Beck on the chat roll just nailed it.
They said Victoria Beckham. I was like, yes,
Victoria Beckham's in on the chat roll.
I'm like, what?
Love to see you here, Posh. She said they're basically pulling an Unreal. And if you guys haven't watched Unreal in Lifetime, but like, that's basically what is exactly happening here. And they cast him for a reason. And as we're watching tonight and he gets the rose, we all are in shock. And we all kind of looked at each other, and we think that's a producer pick.
It's a producer.
Such a 100%. She wouldn't have kept him otherwise. There's no way deep down she's like, you know what? I see a future with Lee.
Yeah, definitely.
He seems like
not.
A great guy.
The only thing that, I mean, I 100% don't think Rachel was behind that pick. But if for some reason she was like, okay, I'll keep him around at that point, probably not having known about the tweets and all that stuff, because I don't think she knew at that time, was probably because Lee is somebody who gets under people's skin in the house, and it's allowing her to see other sides of people being revealed because he's pushing those buttons.
Yeah. Right, but also up until this point, he has been, I guess, charming with her, even though I still don't see how people keep saying Lee's a charming guy. But, you know, he did share the story. I think it was about his grandfather, and then he did give her that wooden block. So at least he was trying to make some effort towards her, like more than some of the other guys were.
Well, I think that's also a tough thing for the other guys to be in, because every single time they get a one-on-one with her, they end up talking about her. I mean, talking about Lee.
Yeah, but that's the guy's problem.
No, I'm saying that's their problem, and it's annoying to me that he's even there and creating that drama for them, because he doesn't deserve to be there. He doesn't deserve any time with her, and I'm just so annoyed by it.
Yeah, and it's interesting, like, too, because you're watching, like, so what I don't get is, A, from the franchise standpoint, why they did it on purpose, knowing that, because I have to assume they're smart enough and protect themselves to know that. And then B, why did they do it? Did they do it to stir up, like, if their intention was to stir up some of, you know, this kind of conversation? But then C, they're kind of flipping it now, because we obviously know Lee's not going to stay. Like, we all know he's going to go home. Yeah. And so you're watching things, like, I don't know if you guys saw, but tonight on Twitter was the best and most aggressive I've ever seen Rachel on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw this.
What was she saying?
I honestly think they might have hired somebody to write her tweets for her tonight, because they were so dang good.
Stop.
She started her own hashtag, I have time today.
Oh.
And so she was basically putting people in their place. So like some girl tweeted at Rachel and said, you're boring or I hate watching you, but then used the hashtag The Bachelorette. So Rachel quoted her Rachel quotes her.
I love this.
But you used my hashtag.
Yeah, she goes, but you used my hashtag. Thanks for keeping me trending. Well, then Leah Block, who was on the show a couple years ago and lives in Denver, tweeted that one of her friends sat down to watch with her and asked if this was Love and Hip Hop, which is a little aggressive in its own way. And so Rachel quotes it, which has now been deleted because Leah got a ton of crap on Twitter. Rachel quotes it and goes, let me know if she wants to meet Lee. They sound like they would have a lot in common. Hashtag I have time today. So,
Mike draw.
Whether or not ABC put Lee in there on purpose, Rachel is going to come out of this to look even better, which makes me glad. I just don't understand why they did it. And I don't know if we'll ever get an answer.
Unnecessary.
It's very unnecessary. If you watch Unreal, though, it like... If there's people that really want this drama.
If you guys want to see the tweets, go Google them. You can see Lee's tweets. There's articles about him everywhere. I don't want to say them. I don't want to get into that because it's just honestly.
He doesn't need more airtime.
It stresses me out. Yeah, he doesn't need it. So let's get on the show. First of all, 7 minutes of the show, Dean calls Lee a little bitch. And that's when I was like, tonight's going to be phenomenal. Excuse the curse word. Lee interrupting Kenny twice. I don't want to go into that. But I also want to talk about Kenny. What were your guys' impressions of Kenny off the top of the show?
You know, I was a little disappointed with Kenny when he addressed Lee just because, Kenny, you're so much better than Lee. Like, just drop it. Leave it alone. But Lee is that person that can just aggravate you and bring out the worst of you, out of you. So I just felt for him. I just wish he like walked away. I wish he didn't raise his voice because it gave, you know, Lee, it allowed Lee to go on and talk about him, unfortunately. But I really do like Kenny. I think he's deep down a good guy. And I feel bad that... I don't know. I feel like he always has to defend himself.
Yeah, and that kind of pisses me off. And even the aggressive term that was thrown around all episode to me just made my blood boil because I feel like that term is thrown around a lot, especially with black men when they get louder. They're getting passionate about explaining something. And I kind of like that the show showed that dynamic and that other people in the house were acknowledging that.
Absolutely. But you can see him kind of go over and he does this. He's like, geez, like he's on purpose
trying.
Fighting that.
Yes, right. he's trying to keep it together because he is in that position. He's a black man. He can't change that. And he's going to automatically be viewed that way no matter what. Because I guarantee you now when... What was his name? Who got eliminated?
Bryce.
No, but when
Diggy,
Waboom
Bryce,
and who was he writing with?
Blake E.
Like, who was calling them aggressive? They were both being loud and ridiculous. Yeah, but as soon as Kenny or someone else in the house or Eric decides to raise their voice because they feel like they're not being heard and they're not being understood, they get labeled as aggressive. And I agree with your point that I liked Kenny and I wanted him to be above it, but there's only so much you can take.
Definitely.
That's why, like, you know, when we're watching a show, I'm just like, yes, every time they go off and clap back because it's like, I feel that.
Yeah, Lee's making us all crazy. I think when we're sitting there watching him talk, we're like, I'm going to lose it. I'm not even on the show and I'm going to lose it. So, I mean, yes, I think we all wish Kenny just walked away. But in that situation, I'm sure it was so hard to do that.
Yeah.
I can't stand Lee.
Yeah. So let's get this. So basically, we have the cocktail ceremony. We see some things like the Rachel and Brian conversation where she's worried that he's so smooth. And then he follows up. Her saying, I'm worried you're too good to be true with, well, when you're weak, I'm going to be strong. And he drops like three beautiful lines. Well, he said, you're my future and I'm not focusing on the drama.
Yeah. Okay, were you guys buying that? Because I have mixed feelings. I am very intrigued by him and I feel like there's something so real there and I love the chemistry they have.
Those lines are a little predetermined, but he is focusing on her. Yes, and he is quiet in the house and on her only, which... Yeah, I agree with you. I'm a little, like, intrigued by it.
Yeah, I like him, but I just feel like he repeated this to himself in the mirror.
Yeah, he was like, he's like combing his hair like Macaulay Culkin Home Alone. He's like,
I'm
strong when you're weak. Like, yeah, you're so right.
I give him credit, though, because his eyes are on the prize. Like, honestly.
His eyes are on the prize.
No, but for... that was
that
such
was
a lie.
Right? Yeah, that was a line.
No, but, like, I give him credit because, like, him and Peter are, like, legit focusing on their connection with Rachel. As corny as Brian's lines may be, like, maybe that's what he needs to be confident. I mean, it seems like, you know, Rachel's buying it, so I'm here for it. And I want to see her explore that connection with him and maybe see if it is all lines or if it's real.
Rachel is more than buying it. Rachel... is, like, I think, head over heels for him.
Megan, she's here for it. I don't know how to say her last name. Megan Kinney or Kanias. She said, Brian is dedicated like Nick was with Andy. And that's a really good parallel because we saw that Nick, he was like, he even told the guys in the house, he's like, I don't care what you think of me. Right. I'm not here for you. So maybe we'll turn around on us.
However, Brian is well-liked and he's friends with everyone in the house.
True.
Yeah.
No one wants
big
to be
difference.
Friends with Nick.
Lee had a quote in there, too. He said, I get tickled when I smile and an angry man gets angrier. That's like borderline, like, get into psychotic territory.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see more of that next week.
He disgusts me.
Rose ceremony, which, by the way, I want to talk about this. Usually when a guy gets a rose, we get, like, a one word. And most previous seasons, we get, like, absolutely, yes, of course, I would love to. It's usually the same things. I have never seen more guys in any season have weirder responses than this season. Right out of the gate, Will gets first rose. We accept this rose each and every time. Dean says, yes, ma'am. Jonathan, Peter, Adam. And then Brian says, with all my heart. And then we have Matt, Josiah, Jack, Iggy, Kenny, and the last one, Lee. And he pulls out the yes, ma'am, which we see him use later. I don't know if it's just a Southern thing or what he's trying to do, but Rachel calls him out on it, which I love later. She's thank like, God. She's like,
so
don't call me ma'am.
People were calling her ma'am even during the toast. Someone else no did. Woman is like, call me ma'am.
Please call me ma'am.
And I think it reminded me of what Rachel said. I think it was like episode 2 that the guys were being too like proper with her. There's no like,
like
just chill out, bro. Like, it's for real. Like, they're too uptight for me.
Going home, Diggy, Bryce, and Brady. I didn't really care much about Bryce or Brady going home, but Diggy needed more airtime.
I know, he did.
And this would be a point where I'd say, put Diggy on Paradise, and we don't even have that option.
I know.
Put him on the Winter Games, AUC. Yeah. If that even still
happens.
You know,
black people don't like
the cold.
You
know what?
I'd like to see his layered outfits. Well, I'm being honest. He was the best dressed guy in the house.
He would be fly as hell, but like, you know, I wouldn't do it.
You know what
I
think we just need to get into really quickly? Obviously, Rachel got so upset during this cocktail hour, and she kept saying, like, I know what people are going to say about me. And I just want to know what you guys thought she meant by that, because I kind of did, and I was like, okay, I love you.
She said people are going to say
she's like, I already know what people are going to say about me. And what do you think she was alluding to?
About getting loud and aggressive?
About her. She was saying, I already know what people are going to say about me. And she broke down crying.
There wasn't really context. They were trying to say that it had to do with the guy drama in the house, but I don't think it had anything to do with that. They just placed it there.
I have to agree. I thought that was an oddly placed confessional, especially with the way they teased it last week. I thought that was like in response to the drama in the house. But I think maybe she was just feeling overwhelmed altogether. And maybe there's more to it that we don't know yet.
I think it has to do with the teaser we saw at the end of tonight's episode, which alluded to Monday and Tuesday next week, I think has to do with the drama that happens after the 2-on-1 or something with the Lee and Kenny drama. And then she's feeling emotionally like something big boils over. And I think that's where we're seeing her saying, I already know what they're going to say about me. And it has to do with the aggression that's going to happen.
I mean, she was in the same outfit from the cocktail party. So I don't know if that maybe that was planned.
Maybe that was
like because she picked Lee that night. Because I think that was before the rose ceremony.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know.
They wanted us to think that that's what it was. But I really don't think that's how the conversation started. I think it was one of those little producer tricks.
Yeah.
Well, so then we go to Hilton Head, South Carolina. Date card. Our love is about to take off. And it's with Dean. Obviously, they always pick the guy that's terrified of heights in their pre-bachelorette interviews to do the heights. But what'd you guys think of this date? A little Jeep out in the middle of nowhere, brunch on the hood.
I'm all about a champagne picnic, but do not put me in that blimp.
What? You wouldn't go?
Really?
I'm not a fan of heights.
Oh, she'd be the first date card. If you were on the Bachelor, she'd be the first date card, and you guys would be up in a plane, or you'd be bungee jumping.
Nope.
Really?
Wouldn't do it.
It's not a helicopter. It's not a plane. It's just a simple floating blimp.
And he drove it. Good for him. Good for Dean. I couldn't. I was like, this is my nightmare.
Would you guys do it?
Absolutely.
I would. Yeah, I would 1,000%. I love that she said to him, she's like, if you don't get up here and do this, you're going to regret it. And she's so right, because look how much he loved it.
Definitely. This whole date had me weak at my knees. Yes. I mean, I think Dean is adorable. I loved him during the cocktail party and rose ceremony when you heard him like just talking shit about Lee. I love his baby blue eyes. I love how fun and easy it is between them. And I just think the whole date was like 100. And it was the first time where I wasn't like, okay, maybe he isn't too young.
Because how old is he again? 21?
He's 20.
He's 25.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh.
No, we know he's young. Yeah. Obviously, she's 32. We know there's a gap. So 7-year gap. He's the youngest guy in the house. And then we just got done talking about Brian, who's the oldest guy in the house at 37. So there's a 10-year gap here. And I think that like, what's that?
I didn't realize that Brian was
37. Yeah, I didn't realize he was that old either.
Yeah, which I think is suited for Rachel. She's definitely a 32. Yeah, she's a mature 32.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And it doesn't mean that by being interested in Dean, I think that makes her less mature.
No, I don't think so either. I think he showcases actually a lot of mature qualities. I think we saw a lot more of that this episode, because until the very end of it, when, you know, they started having those sound bites of other people saying, I don't know if he's, you know, if he's too young for her. That's when I was actually reminded of it, because his story, just the way he carries himself compared to everyone else in the house, he seems more mature.
When I was 15, I had a pretty big tragedy happen to me and my family, and you're forced to grow up pretty quickly. You're forced to deal with things that you wouldn't otherwise deal with as a 15-year-old. See, anybody that's young, at a younger age, then you should have to deal with some life situations. And so whether or not he's 25, he may have the maturity of a 30 or 35-year-old guy, because you're forced to grow up very quickly, especially if there's not a mom around. So you start doing things that, you know, and like he said, his sisters moved out, his dad wasn't around. So he was forced to grow up really quick. So while he's 25, I think he probably carries himself much older. And so I think by ABC cutting and editing it that way, It's to shine a better light on him. I think he's getting a little bit of a better edit, which tells me I think he's going to be one of the hometowns. That's all that leading up to,
I think. I could so see him being a hometown. One thing I will say is I really like how the story came about. Rather than what we've seen in past seasons with 101s, people are like, okay, I need to tell you something about myself. Yeah, that's a great point. This was so organic. They were talking about their childhoods, and then she asked. And it just felt so organic, so natural.
You're very right.
And it didn't feel forced, which I love.
But do you think that he... I mean, I like your theory about him being a hometown visit, but I feel like it's almost too sad. Because, like, I felt like...
Who's he going to have at home?
What happened?
Who's he going to have at home? Is that what you're wondering?
Well, yeah.
I think his sisters will be there and his dad... I mean, like, this is a ways away.
I thought the same thing about with Christina. Like, I thought she was going to be part of the hometown days. But then with her story, I was like, okay, that might be too sad. I don't know how they're going to film this.
Plus, interesting.
You know what I mean?
Like, but I don't think it's based off that. I think it's based off connection. And based on what we've seen, like, there's really... If I had to put my money on only four or five guys right now, he'd be one of the guys I'd put my money on to be one of the final
five.
Yeah, to be one of the final five. For sure, without a doubt.
I think so too. I don't know about four or three, but definitely top five.
Yeah, definitely top five. And I think that's where it's coming from, is like usually when they edit it like that, it's because they want you to have a connection with this character.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they wouldn't have given us that much insight or told that much of the story for us if we weren't building a connection that either is going to last or at least make it far, so we're all going to feel for him. You know what I mean? And I could also see, I'll just say this, him being a potential next Bachelor.
I could see that too.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. I'm just gonna throw that out there.
I definitely think so. Yeah.
I need to see more of his like personality.
He's so freaking likable. He's a little young,
but he's very likable. But the same thing, isn't the Bachelor looking like he's not looking for a wife right now? I know he's on the show for Rachel, who tweeted this tonight?
Claire Fallon. She's one of the hosts for the Huffington Post. I've been on her podcast. She's one of the hosts for the Huffington Post podcast about The Bachelor, right? And she tweeted tonight, she lost her mom when she was young. She goes, when that happens to you, you long for a family and to replace that and to build your own faster than most people.
Definitely. He did say that.
I'm thinking about it right now, and I remember reading that being like, God, that's so true. And so, I don't know, maybe.
And he did say that tonight, too. He was like, I want to be a dad. I want to have a family. So, I mean, he's definitely very young.
It's
going to
be an interesting one to watch, yeah.
And he's a favorite, I just want to learn more about him, though. Because, you know, the way they set up all the dates for whoever the person of interest is based around, that, you know, like, all these Southern things with Rachel. Like, we don't know enough about him yet for me to, like, conceptually frame a season around him.
Yeah, it's a good theory,
but I don't think yet.
It's super early.
I
feel like we know more about him than anyone else.
Watch her tonight.
Maybe about Peter. I guess it's just because one-on-one dates.
We've got a lot from Kenny as well. Yeah. Not just airtime, but we got like a pre-roll package the first night about him wrestling. But yeah, we know more about him than most people.
Definitely.
And also, by the way, then they go to that country concert. Holy crap. Was it you were talking about the length, like the lyrics in the song?
Yes.
She was literally like bawling her eyes out. It was all so good. You're like dabbing her. I might have got watery, I'll be honest.
You did, Danny.
I got a little. It was just like it was perfect. It was literally perfect. Yeah, that was a great
beautiful.
One. By the way, Russell Dickerson, that was a song we were playing at the top of the show. The song is called Yours. Unreal. Anything else before we move to the group date card? Group date card comes in. Alex, Anthony, Peter, Brian, Jonathan, Adam, Matt, Kenny, Lee, Iggy, Eric, Will, Josiah. Quote, I want to see who's ready for a commitment. The person who read it, I have to talk about this. I tweeted this. Peter read it. Most boring read I've ever seen of a date card ever. It was like a dead person reading the date card.
I felt the same way.
But don't you think Peter's kind of boring? Like, I like him. I think he's interesting. I think he's very
handsome. No, I don't think he is.
But I think he's kind
of
boring.
One of my friends texted me. She was like, it was literally like a dead person reading the date card.
I think he's very proper. A little boring, you guys.
I don't know.
I don't think Peter's boring. I think he's husband material. But the way he read it, that was the first thing I thought was like, he's like talking like a robot.
Yeah,
like,
he's just very proper.
Weird. Even the way he talks about like anything sexual, it's very just like a man would hope. You know, he's very, very proper. Like, I'll just say that. I mean, he's fine as hell. We know this.
He is. So cute.
Peter.
He's got that George Clooney like salt and pepper speckle. Really?
Does he? too much.
So, by the way, then all the guys are running up, and the scene where like they kind of look at each other, like who's gonna get to Rachel first, and they start running, and like Iggy just like charges her.
Her face for the split second is like scared.
No, I wanted to see that play out and like what actually happened. Like, did they sprint all the way to her? Did someone pick her up? Like,
it cut though.
That was freaking weird.
So needs to get a cut of her face.
Yeah, so we see the group date, which, you know, they get on the boat, and they're all, like, dancing, and Tickle Guy somehow is still on. I have no idea how.
He's flying under the radar. Like, what's up with that?
What's going on? Do you guys have a theory on this, or do you think it's just, like, he just hasn't got eliminated yet?
I think he just hasn't gotten eliminated.
Okay. That's what I think it is.
Yeah. Like, tell me one moment they've had, because I don't know.
They have it. He did dance quite a bit at Ellen.
At Ellen.
Maybe
he was
also...
kind of fun on the Ellen date, actually.
But he was the one that Ellen pointed out, was like, that guy can't, the tickle guy can't
oh,
dance.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was bad. It was, oh.
And also, when they were dancing on the boat, too, I was like, there's something cute about him. Like, he knows he can't dance, and he's like, willing
yeah, he
to
did
make
kind
a fool out of
it.
Himself. Like, I appreciate that.
I could just see Rachel, though, ultimately making an executive decision, like, you're nice, but like, nah.
Bye.
You know what I mean?
Like, real talk, I don't remember his name. Tickle Monster.
Maybe he also gives really good massages, and we don't know it.
Yeah, maybe.
Tickle Monster?
Maybe.
I'm trying to get him some love.
Not better than Brian, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, true.
Who was it? So was it Kenny that started freestyling? All I wrote was the line, something real from my heart, something fake like
no,
a fart. Who
was
it that
Peter.
Said that?
Was that Peter? Peter.
So Kenny's freestyle was actually like kind of decent until he said the part about like ill, like bath soap or bubbly, like my rhymes are ill like and bubbly like bath soap or something like that.
I don't know.
He said something like a bubble. Like, I think that was the punchline.
Yes.
I was like, why did, first of all, you started off saying you're from NYC. I can't claim you with that whack rap. Like, no.
But, so to your point, Christina, you said Peter's kind of boring, but then he comes in with his rap. And
which
it was actually
kind of
like,
boring.
I didn't know that was. So he's just like the tickle guy being awkward and embracing his awkwardness. That was Peter embracing the moment and then saying this fart line, which I actually kind of laughed at.
Okay, he was trying to embrace the moment, and I'll definitely give him credit for that. And I do think he's really cute and charming. But that's it. Like,
that's
he's cute and charming, but like, I don't want to go like backpacking across Europe with him by any means.
Like, he could be like a, remember last, remember with JoJo Wells? Remember Wells?
Yes.
Who's a radio DJ from Nashville, who like was the last person to kiss her and everybody gave him crap about it. And he kind of flew under the radar. And now he's probably one of my favorite people in the franchise to follow on social media. He's hilarious. Mm-hmm. He's funny. He's real. And he was kind of like that, like kind of nerdy, quirky, likable guy who flew under the radar. And then all of a sudden after he gets off the show, you're like, wait, that guy was awesome.
Right.
He was I thought he was funny on the show. I felt whenever like we got to see him making jokes, he was hilarious. I want to see him there longer, and then as soon as that kiss happened, I'm like, oh.
I kind of think Peter could be same vibe. Maybe not as like much, but I think Peter could be same vibe. That's why I'm drawing the comparison.
Also, I just think that Peter is quiet and probably sarcastic and has that smart humor that's just not loud, and he's not, you know, crying
for
attention.
Is that a good match
for
Rachel?
It is a good match.
I think
that's true. He doesn't stand out to me amongst all the other guys.
Nina DeMarco, Peter's my spirit animal. I don't even know what that means.
I think Peter, honestly, just knows who he is.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Yeah.
He is just is who he is, whether it's corny or not, and he's going to just keep being him. Like, I haven't seen him sway away from what impression I had from him from the jump.
I completely agree. I don't think he's boring. Do you know who I thought was really boring?
Who?
Chase from JoJo season. His edit
Chase McNary
made him seem very boring.
I will tell you this. Chase is a buddy of mine, and Chase is not boring. He got a bad edit.
That's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. On the show, he appeared to be very boring. There was nothing that stuck out to me about him on the show.
He's absolutely not. We hung out. I was with him last night. He's not boring at all. He's actually hilarious.
Tell him to come through. What's up?
Sometime. Okay, so we go to a spelling contest.
Such a fun date. I was so excited about this. I was like, why am I more excited about the spelling contest than the mud wrestling?
This was actually funny, and I have to give props because somebody, I screenshotted this. Claire Fallon, again, same girl from the Huffington Post. She tweeted, very important to have a spelling bee since Rachel won't get to see their typo-filled text until they are engaged. That's actually kind of a funny thought. Like,
that's very
usually
funny.
When you're dating somebody, there's a lot of texting happening nowadays, right? And so you see, like, you build a relationship, that's how you learn part of someone's personality. And I don't know about you guys, but I so appreciate when I'm dating somebody and they can text well.
Yep.
When somebody can, like, make you laugh over text. And so you start to think about this and, like, I don't know, it made me think about the fact that, like, we never get to see that, so they don't ever get to have that.
No.
And then they're just engaged without ever using
a
cell phone.
That is
I never really thought about that till tonight.
Because like, being a bad texter could change everything, right?
Yeah, like, are they, like, a double texter,
or,
like, a triple texter?
The one-word text.
The
one-word,
the K.
Oh,
or
gosh.
Everything is, like, you're, like, you
yeah.
are.
Oh, yeah.
I hate
but, like,
that.
We've all known this, but have you ever really thought about, like, they don't get to use phones? There's no Snapchatting back and forth. There's no, like, kissy. There's no good nights. There's no like self.
You don't know what their selfie game is like.
Right?
You don't know if you're gonna look good. But you know,
like you don't get to see any of this.
No. Our problems in like 2017. Like how
so
do they know
real.
How to text?
God, it's so real.
Snapchat.
Yeah, the spelling bee was fun. I thought it was actually like it was actually kind of cool to watch that happen.
A lot of guys don't know how to spell. Real talk. That was like the best thing she could have done.
What was the hardest word? What was the hardest word?
Either boudoir or boutonniere. That was hard.
Boutonniere could trip someone up.
What is boutonniere?
What is it?
Yeah. No. Spell it. What is it?
Oh gosh. Can I write it? Boutonniere. B-O-U-I.
Don't cheat. Get out of here.
No, I'm going to look up the spelling for
Christine's
her.
Cheating.
I don't know. I can't even think about it right now. B-O-U-I-T-E-N-E-R-R-E. Boutonniere.
I think the I's after the T, right? See, I don't know.
I don't know. Something like that.
Polyamorous was a tough one, too.
I didn't think polyamorous was that tough.
Who was it that spelled facade was the worst spelling of the night?
P-H-Y-S-D-E.
I just felt bad for him because he was like, I think they're trying to trip me up with this. Gotta be harder than
it was. Eric Sandy Kess, right? Apaya, thank you. Eric spelling facade was the worst.
He's like, they're not gonna get me. I got this.
PH.
Megan Kanaya just said too, the spelling bee was too short, to be honest. It was too short.
Like, it was a really good date.
Yeah. Is anyone else pissed that Josiah got the word stunning?
Yes.
I'm sorry, who can't spell stunning?
I will give Josiah this. When he asked her to say put it in a sentence, and then answered it or responded, that's actually kind of like a clever way to flirt in front of everybody. I know he's getting borderline cocky with some things, but I actually thought that was a clever way to show his personality.
See, I don't think he's cocky at all. I think he's so insecure. Every time he talks, I'm like, you're not confident. Like, that's all I read from him. Really? He's trying so hard.
Yeah. I think if he didn't do it like a sleazy late night talk show host, like they said, it would have been cuter.
Yeah.
And he also just had me just, oh my God,
cringing
shaking my
the
head.
Whole time.
Cringing when he kept taking his trophy and drinking drinks out of it like you were Hove. This is not the Grammys. Chill out. Like, it's
Sandy Kess also just reminded me that line, God really doesn't give with both hands. Peter, do you guys not remember that?
No.
When did he say that?
God really doesn't give with both hands. It was on the boat, right? Somebody remind me of when exactly this was. Because I remember seeing it and thinking about it and then went on to something else.
I don't remember that.
I don't even know what context that was in.
I wish I could remember exactly. These are the things I should write down. The things that make me laugh out loud. Somebody on the chat room will help us out. Josiah had the runs. He would not stop.
I like Josiah just had me like, just spell the word.
Seriously, me too.
Sandy Kess, he's so extra. Yeah. By the way, hello to everyone on chat roll. We love that you guys are here with us. Thank you for being here with us live. Everybody that's listening on the podcast, the next day in your car or on your commute, join us for the chat roll sometime. It's lit in here.
I will say I did like Peter's commentary on the other guys. He said Anthony is a secret genius and will read 6 books a day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I did not know that about Anthony or Will. Thank you. Like, that was valuable information, I thought. And then they were, Will was one of the final guys, so good for him.
Renee, Peter can't spell coitus. Can't have everything, I guess.
Yeah, that was funny too. Funny. Coitus. I was
man. So we got about 15 minutes left. Let's get to the cocktail ceremony here, because Iggy, I want to start off with Iggy. This is the second time he's just straight up, I think you said earlier, like, why do you say, bro, go home, or why are you still here?
Yes.
Whatever you said. So he brings it up, which obviously says to me he's insecure.
Oh, sure. Totally.
He always has somebody else's name, like kind of like what he was saying. Who was it that said, he's like, get your name out of my mouth. Who had the whole
Eric.
Thing? Eric, thank
Eric.
You. I always forget his
forget?
Name. I always just forget his name. But like, he's very right. Don't have someone else's name, and you don't need to do that.
Absolutely.
And we see it every season without fail, no matter how many times these people watch other iterations of The Bachelor, The Bachelorette.
Never learn.
Someone always does this, and it makes them look like dumb idiots.
And he thinks just because he tells the guy he's talking about him that it makes it better. Like,
yes.
I just, like, love no. that, Josiah.
That point, yes.
That like, was the
no.
realest thing
he said. It's
said
like it negates that you just said something, and that's so, it doesn't nullify that just because you out yourself. Like, the way Iggy even walked in the room and was like, can I sit here?
Yeah.
The whole vibe. And
that was confrontational to
I think
me,
it was Eric,
honestly.
Too, that said, he was like, your energy changed. He's like, look at these
Definitely.
Dudes. They have to go talk to her with this. And he was so right. All
so
those
right.
dudes are on the couch just, like, sullen and sulking, like, slouched like this.
Absolutely.
They were like, how did we get dragged into another screaming match with these dudes?
So I wish we had a little more time, because I wanted to rewind and see exactly how it got initiated. But Rachel, am I right, did not ask him. He brought it up. Both times,
yes.
correct?
Yes. Okay, yes. What killed me more than anything was that he said, I am very protective over Rachel. Iggy, you don't even know who Rachel is, okay? Yeah. Like,
agreed. He doesn't know her at all. Honestly, in my opinion, he's one of the most least attractive guys in the house. He has no connection with her.
Yeah.
And you could just tell she's not feeling... You laughing at me.
Because I couldn't agree, totally.
He's just so corny to me. Like, you have, like, Iggy.
Yeah.
He obviously has
nothing
to offer.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. Like,
definitely.
Can I get a bruh?
Bruh.
And
there
you
it
know
is.
What? I will say his confrontation with Josiah actually made me like Josiah more.
Same.
I was
no.
like, Josiah, this is where I feel like you're being real. Being when he was like put into that hot seat and just having to say like, why you have my name in your mouth? Like, this is exactly what you're doing wrong. What happened?
Shout out to Tisha and I don't even know how to say your name on the chat roll. Iggy posted teeth whitening ads on his Instagram, but why? We're already there with him.
I don't like it.
Diet pills next week.
Well, he and Iggy are going live tonight. Maybe we'll ask him.
Hair pills.
Yeah.
Sugar.
I don't know.
Sugar bear hair.
Sugar bear hair.
Iggy's going to be on that sugar bear hair next week.
Guys, I will say from this group date, I happen to really like Eric a lot. He starts to grow on me a little bit.
What is it about him that made him grow on you?
I think that he was just misunderstood a little bit. And I think that there's something... Renee's like, girl, ew. I don't know. I feel like he actually seems like a nice guy. I think he was just insecure. And you know what? Like, after seeing Iggy talking about Josiah, I was like, wow, like, Iggy really did instigate the whole Eric situation.
Yeah.
So he was just reacting to people talking about him.
Yeah, for me, the insecurity thing is just not attractive. Like, hearing him even now being like, of course, Dean got the one-on-one date. I thought I would... Do we have to do this every week? Do we have to learn every week? Oh, yeah, Eric's still insecure. Like, there's nothing attractive about it. Yes, I don't like Iggy more than I don't like Eric. But, like, that's just saying who do I like the least, you know?
That's true.
Says a lot about this season, too.
I'm just going to be real. Guys, my favorite thing was, okay, so I like Eric a little bit more, but by no means do I think that Rachel's going to choose him. Like,
yeah,
please,
agreed.
He's gone, like, in the next couple of weeks. But Rachel said, Eric... I was thinking, like, Eric and I can really be something. And she said this to the camera, and then you guys have to rewind it. She, like, looked down, and it was, like, one of those looks was like, okay, was that good? Like, did I read the line well
no
enough
way.
For you? Yes, you
I saw that look down,
it.
But I didn't get that.
You didn't get that?
I didn't get that one with her doing that. I think she was just kind of, like, taken back. Like, I don't know that it was, like, force. It just seemed a little, like...
I didn't buy it.
I saw the look down. I found it weird that they kept it in the cut, too, because it was so, like... Well, yes, I feel this way.
No, I think it's teasing that he is going to be around for a while.
You think so?
No, I do. I think, honestly, and I said this the last week, I think that there's more to Eric that we're just not seeing.
I don't know if I want to see more.
he's an interesting one because he's flip-flop. Last week I was a little like, but I did kind of, there are parts of me I was like, hey, I like
listen,
him.
He is totally flawed. I'm not denying that. Is he insecure
we all
as
are.
Hell? Yes. Yeah. But for some reason, like, even just when he sat down with Rachel and she was like, I was worried about you this week. Like, I wanted you to feel good. She didn't say that to nobody else.
That's
She's
true.
Not worried about nobody else, but somehow seemed to say that to him. Or at least that's what we got in the edit. Like, I don't know. I think... The show, his edit right now is making him out to be obviously controversial, but I think he'll be around for a while. I think he's going to be the one to stir the pot later down the line.
All right, good, because
so
I want to see where
after Lee
he comes
goes,
from.
He's the next villain?
Oh, gosh.
I think so.
You think so?
Yeah.
I could see it.
Because, like, out of, like, the front runners, he's probably the most controversial left, I think. Like, you're not going to see Brian starting trouble. Or, yeah. like...
Or Peter.
I could see Josiah start. He also did say...
I could see Josiah
he does drugs, he shoots steroids in his nuts. Which, by the way...
Whoa.
The show just kind of skirted over that to
yeah.
me.
Yeah! Seriously.
What a big deal.
Like, I want to see that come back up later. Or at least the men tell all is going to be hot. Because there's some stuff that I'm sure when these guys are watching this back that is like... It's gonna get real lit.
Do you think it's true?
Oh yeah.
I look at your face.
Oh yeah.
I had to ask to be objective, guys. I think it's true too.
Yeah,
but like,
definitely.
He does drugs. He shoots steroids in his nuts.
They went over that like it was nothing. It was so nonchalant.
They just moved on, and we all looked at each other
like repause, yeah. rewind.
That was actually the only thing we rewinded tonight.
Did. Was it? It was. We were like, but wait, hold on, what?
Here's what I don't get. When everyone was talking about steroids with Chad, that was like a huge plot to JoJo's season. Yet apparently this guy shoots steroids in his nuts, and they just. Whoop,
they just skirt
how did they decide to let that get aired out, but nobody decided to be like, hey, Lee's actually a racist. Can we get that on camera?
Right,
like put the shit out here that needs to be out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, guys. I got too passionate.
Dean said Lee's a racist, pretty much.
Oh, ooh, well, yeah.
Megan,
in so many words.
Megan Kinnear just wrote, I wonder what Daniel would say about this season. Ha ha ha. Daniel McGoin, the Canadian. Well, we're working on trying to get his thoughts soon, and as well as some other people. A little spoiler. Future spoiler for us. Okay, so let's get to basically the end of what we see here. So we see Kenny talking, and he has this conversation with Rachel by the water. And inevitably, the gossip bug bites Kenny as well. And he even admitted it later. He goes, unfortunately, I spent a lot of my time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't feel like his was as much of the let me tattle on somebody. It was a little more of like,
defending
I want you to see who I am.
It was a little desperation, too.
A little bit, because... Well, just the only thing I want to say was the line where he said, I'm going to, or no, he said, his handshake doesn't match his smile. And he's like, I'm a guy. I thought that was actually a really great line.
That's a good line.
He goes, my smile matches my handshake. But what were you going to say, Christine?
No, I was going to say, I think he was at the point where he felt like he needed to get that out, because think about how many guys will have a chance to speak with her before they get to him and could have said something about him or whatever the case was. Like, I mean, he did fall into that trap. But at this point, we already see going into next week that it's just fully bloomed into a whole conflict now.
Right. So, which means they both make it to next week.
Who do you think comes out of that 2-on-1?
Kenny, for sure.
Yeah. I think no doubt.
Better come out
he
of that.
He better.
2-on-1.
Also, you guys, how about Rachel planning her life with Peter? Did anyone else not see that? She was like, girl. By the way, I'm licensed to practice in Wisconsin.
Oh, in Wisconsin. She's like, I didn't tell you. Yeah. You're so right.
Do you think she did that when she was on Nick's season to get ready or no?
Ooh.
I wonder if they're...
Or, because you do have to pass the bar, right? Or I don't know.
How that was something each she state had in has her its own bar.
I think so.
Yeah.
A good question.
That's a really great question. Mm-hmm. Put a little Twitter poll out there.
Yeah. I will.
That's a great question. Also, did you guys notice in the freestyle that Kenny had by the water, he threw a little jab at Nick in there?
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. And I don't know if that hurts or helps him, because when Rachel came off Nick's season, there was nothing but adoration and love between them two. He spoke so incredibly highly of her.
Yeah.
And she was not hurt by, like, I mean, she was hurt emotionally, but not mad. She wasn't offended by Nicolette, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least publicly.
So I thought that was, at least publicly. But so I thought that was kind of an interesting little, just like a little jab he threw in
there. It was funny.
Yeah. I don't know. I forgot about that. I meant to mention that. Okay. So we got a few minutes left. I want to do this. I want to go around and say who we think the front runners are. Like your final five.
Okay.
Right now. I'll give you guys a second to write that down. While you're doing that, let you guys know that are listening and that are watching. So next week, if you haven't watched the show yet, obviously I hope you have, because we're just giving you all the spoilers from tonight's episode. There's two episodes. There's a double header, so Monday night and Tuesday night, two episodes. They've done this before. We've covered it in different ways over the years. We've done an individual show for each night. We've done where we just cover Monday night and Monday night and try to cover Tuesday the next week, and it doesn't work. So we have not decided what we're going to do. As soon as we do, one of us will tweet it out with all of us tagged, and we'll try to retweet it, let you guys know. But most likely, we will do one show, just let you guys know. So as soon as we decide how we're going to do that, we'll let you guys in on that, because people are already starting to ask. So when we know, we'll let you know. Cool?
Cool.
Okay, Christina, we're going to start with you, the other end of the table. Give us your final five. You can give an explanation or not, but I want to know who you're like top four or five are at this point.
Okay, I'm going to do top four because I literally can't think of who the fifth person would be.
Okay.
Brian, Peter, Dean, and I'm going to say Will. I think he's a dark horse. I think he's going to do pretty well. I actually like him. I think he's hilarious. And I like that he reads 6 books a day.
By the way, you guys are already doing this on chat roll because you guys are the best. Give us your top four or five as well. So I'm going to read a few of those off after we get through us. Christine, who you got?
All right, I got Peter, Brian, Dean, Eric, and Anthony.
Ooh. Which one's Anthony again?
He's the one who had the one-on-one date.
The terrible, awkward horse date, right?
Yeah.
I
don't know necessarily that I think he's a dark horse, but I just think she obviously saw something in him early enough to give him that one-on-one, so maybe we'll see more. And he also gave me this really mature, put-together guy that who could be someone she could lean on and who, you know, could just fit maybe into the lifestyle that she ultimately wants. So I think she might consider that long term. Why are you laughing?
Because Reese Anthony just wrote, Iggy looks like he smells like plantains. Sometimes these random comments in the chat world are so good. My God.
Isn't he Hawaiian? Do they even eat plantains?
I don't know.
I love plantains. So don't tell me that.
Renee, who you got, girl?
Okay, very similar. I have Dean, Peter, Alex, Will, and Brian.
Alex.
We didn't see any of Alex's episode. I love Alex.
He's the cutest.
Dude, I forgot about him.
He's laughing at that joke.
Wait, why can't I picture Alex right now?
He is...
He's an accent. He's like...
Oh, yeah. See what I mean? There's so many of these guys are like carbon copies of each other.
Guys, what happened to Matt?
Isn't
there a Matt?
Yeah, Matt was there tonight.
He has like a beard. He has kind of like a chipmunk.
He was on that date.
Oh, him.
He was on the date too?
Yeah, he was on the date, but got like no airtime.
I completely forgot about him.
I don't think he stays. I think he's too boring for her. I don't think he stays.
He's so boring.
Yeah, he's too boring.
Sorry, Matt.
Renee's over here on the channel getting mad. She was like, do not disrespect plantains. I want to fight.
No, for real.
We're joking. Plantains are great. I just like banana chips better.
Danny.
What?
plantains, fried plantains are life.
Are they?
Yes.
I've only had them like once. Maybe I need to get on my plantain game.
I got you.
Danny, who's your top four or five?
Peter, Kenny, this is not in any order. Peter, Kenny, Brian, Dean, Will. I also wrote Will. Which one of you guys said Will?
Me.
She yeah. Did. As a little bit of a dark horse. Like,
I had Will slash Anthony, but I said
not Anthony. Anthony and Alice were like two that I'm not sure about. But I gotta be honest. I know Kenny's getting a lot. I really think Kenny, especially having a child, could be a really great fit.
For Rachel?
Yeah.
What about? Renee, I'm assuming you don't agree.
Okay, I don't get that being the reason why you see it being a good fit, because he's responsible. I think
he's responsible. He's been through some life things. He knows exactly who he's looking for in a partner, in a mother. Like he's down the road in some ways further than other guys, only because he's been through something with a partner having a child. And there's some maturity things that the other guys they can't have because they don't have a kid.
But have you seen a connection between them? Because that's one thing that's completely lacked for me. I haven't seen any chemistry. Just a friendship.
Of all of the drama, what I love that he does is when it comes time and she shows up, nothing, like he sheds this thing and he's like, I'm just way happier now that you're here.
Yeah.
There's something about him that sparks that I enjoy watching.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they would work out for two big reasons, at least to me.
Yeah.
One is that it's not that I don't think Rachel is mature enough to handle that role, but like that's a lot of pressure to step into being someone's stepmom. Not saying anything about her or her choices or her feelings, but that's a lot of pressure. Two, I think I don't know that I could see Rachel being with someone like Kenny just because of his reputation and what he's done. Like, she's the face of this franchise. Like, he's a wrestler. Like, I not to be too superficial, I just can't see that as a couple.
Really?
Yeah, I just can't.
I have him in my top five.
Well.
Also, the connection too. It's not there. There's no connection. He's totally being friend zoned. Like, this is Fred happening.
Yeah,
this is Fred happening. New Fred. Yes. Just wait till he makes a move, and he's gonna be like, "Can I kiss you?" And then we're gonna be like, "Oh, all over again."
Oh my God, we love you, Fred. Though, chill.
We do.
Interesting. Sabine said, "But Kenny's on a 2-in-1, which is a kiss of death. Even if you make it through, usually the person that makes the 2-in-1 doesn't ever." Go forward. Ah, so much to cover. We will let you guys know, like I said, about what we do next week. That's our show for tonight. Any other thoughts? We got 1 minute left.
Can't wait.
Thanks, Renee, for those wonderful words of wisdom. No, in the meantime...
Thank God we get 2 episodes next week.
Yes. That's
all I have to say about that.
Yeah, we need some content. Christina, where can people find you in the social world?
You guys can find me across social media and on my blog. It's at Miss Zias, MissZias.
And you guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Christine Bean. Connect with me, tweet me, all that good stuff.
You guys can follow me on Instagram and on Twitter at Renee Ariel. And check out my blog, sextingandthecity.com.
Ooh, sextingandthecity.com. I haven't checked that out.
It's good.
You can follow me at Danny Hoyt on everything. And by the way, I got to give a shout out. Olivia Caridi is now, you guys remember Olivia Caridi?
Yeah.
She was on a 2-in-1. She was the one that was left on the island.
Yeah.
Is now hosting a daily station on Anchor called Bachelor Nation. And she's like... calling everyone, Alexis and Iggy and all these people, and doing these interviews about like Bachelor in Paradise and gossip and news, and it's phenomenal. Olivia Creed is killing it, and she's also got like a podcast now on CBS. She's crushing it. So is Ashley I and Ben Higgins' podcast.
Yeah. I want to listen to that.
Almost Famous. There's so many people doing really good things. Check out Anchor though. Olivia's Bachelor Nation is really good.
Cool. Anchor's also a really cool app. I'm on there too, guys.
See you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz, see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.